Welcome to the worship service from Trinity Chapel in Seven Mile Ford, Virginia. Trinity Chapel is a small, traditional, and biblically based congregation in the southwest corner of Virginia. The church pastor is the Reverend Bob Bierman, also host of Truth to Ponder, heard on this station. We invite you to be a part of our worship service today. To learn more about the church, its mission, and its vision, visit the website trinitychapelvirginia.com. That's trinitychapelvirginia.com. And now join us in the sanctuary of Trinity Chapel for today's broadcast.
Well, good morning. A lot of people talk to me this week about not feeling well. And a lot of people, a lot of illness and a lot of families going around. I know that Brian's wife, Joan, has got a really nasty cold. I know Mark, who normally sings, now he had an uncle that had a heart attack earlier this week, so he's up. I'm trying to remember, West Virginia, Ohio, somewhere in that area where they all kind of come together. He had planned to be back, but he realized late yesterday afternoon he was exhausted. He'd be driving at night in the mountains. I said, you stay and wait till morning. And so we had just enough time to change the bulletin at the last minute, reprint, and you know, so we could get by today. Others have said the same thing. We have Glenn and Susan. They are also under the weather, both of them. And so we have it happens. And so our little time today of Mexican food, we got plenty and very few, but we hope you can partake and be with us. And take leftovers home, if that's what it takes. I mean, it happens, and I understand that. Several things I want to quickly share, and then we'll get to our service today. Let me get everything up here. I left some material up here at the altar. I decided a lot of churches today will use this Sunday. You know, for some churches, it's just a beautiful Sunday in autumn at the peak of the leaf color. Some churches, especially that have a Lutheran background, will look at this as Reformation Sunday, and then next Sunday they'll commemorate All Saints. And it's a variation from church to church, whether you're Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, non-denominational, Baptist, it kind of varies a little bit. But I thought about All Saints for today, even though some do it next week. And I'll make some mention of what Reformation and what it was all about in the Middle Ages. But I thought today, as we're getting our hearts and minds, kind of looking at the series of sermons and messages that have been preached, I thought it would be important to think about it today and why is it important. Some other announcements, like I say, the food. Next Sunday, we get an extra hour of sleep. So I made sure that was in the bulletin. Mark Holmes would like to start a Bible study, looking at potentially Sunday evening. And we were talking about that the other day. So I was hoping he'd be here to talk more about it today. But did he get called in to have to make deliveries? Or yeah. He's one of Mark's problems is that he works for the post office, and ever since Amazon came along and demands Sunday deliveries, he quite often gets called in. And that has been a problem for a lot of people. So he's trying to get that changed. And I understand. Years ago, early in my broadcast career, I got stuck with Sunday mornings because I was the last guy hired, you know, kind of thing. And so I really didn't like that at all, but it was what it was. And that's actually one of the reasons I left the radio station. Hard to believe 5 weeks from today, this year is going by too quickly. It'll be Christmas Eve. Oh, Mark is here. 5 weeks from today, it'll be Christmas Eve. And I'm thinking seriously on what we can do to make this church a real country Christmas church. Now, I haven't gone through yet, I'm almost afraid to, what may still lurk in the basement for things they may have used in the past. Some of that stuff may be the 1970s call, and they want their tree back or something. I don't know. We haven't really gone through it. But I'd really like to see this church really set up for Christmas. A couple of things are going to happen. Before the first Sunday in Advent, which is just a few weeks from now. On that Saturday, we're putting together an event that'll feature music, flatbed truck kind of thing, and all kind of stuff out there in the parking lot. This would be the day before the first Sunday in Advent, which happens to be December 3rd, if I'm not mistaken. So it'll be December the 2nd is when we're going to do something on Saturday and then carry it over into that first Sunday. And what I plan to do, and I thought about this, remember I had mentioned maybe sending cards out or something to the neighborhood. This would be the perfect time to do it. We've got time to plan, get postcards to people here to invite them to this event they're about to see in their neighborhood. And so this could be a great opportunity. Plus, I'm going to use a little of the advertising budget that was set aside, that was already prepaid, to let others know about this particular event. It'd be a good time to jumpstart a little bit. What's that? A little bit. So to jumpstart some of the people here. So when we have a little time as we get into the service today, after the service, why don't we think about what we can do during those four Sundays? And Christmas Eve, by the way, falls on a Sunday. And so I'm trying to figure how we deal with that as well. You know, would you like to have a nice candle, you know, light lit service? You know, your typical carols and what have you, Christmas Eve around, you know, 6, so it's not too late. Because little kids want to get to bed so they can get you up at 3 in the morning to get their gifts the next day, as I recall. At least that's how I was. So let's talk about that as well today. Yeah. Is there anything I'm missing in terms of announcements? I guess not. What's that? Oh, yeah. I got one here, too. I know we didn't have as many people here today, but we'll keep putting it. There's two ways you can do this. To give us information, to put kind of a mailing list together. This is not going to be out there for everybody to see, but it'll help me. You can either fill out the form and put it in the little box, or if you prefer and you do a lot of stuff online, if you go to the church website but add a / and the word form, F-O-R-M, there's no menu for it on the front page. You can fill one out there, and it'll be emailed to me. So you can even do it online if it's easier. Just trinitychapelvirginia.com/the word form, F-O-R-M. And if you would like to be on our mailing list and what have you, I would really appreciate it. I know that from time to time people have birthdays, and if I don't know about it, we can't acknowledge it. Of course, not that I want to acknowledge anymore after this one. I'm done. You know, no more. No more birthday cakes. I'm stopping. I've had enough. I've enjoyed them. So with that, if there's nothing else, I'm just trying to remember. I know my wife's got the Secret Sisters program going, and I'll let her talk about that some other day. You're only 29. What was that?
You're only 29.
Or like Jack Benny said, I'm 39. I had a couple of weeks ago was the 30th anniversary of that birthday. So let us begin our service with the singing of our first music. Lord, I lift your name on high. Stand if you can.
Lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross. Sky. lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
You may be seated for the reading of God's word.
Good morning again. First reading is Isaiah chapter 26, verses 12 through 21. Lord, you established peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. Lord our God, other lords beside you have ruled over us, but your name alone we do we honor. They are now dead. They live no more. Their spirits do not rise. You punished them and brought them to ruin. You wiped out all memory of them. You have enlarged the nation. Lord, you have enlarged the nation. You have gained glory for yourself. You are extended all the borders of the land. Lord, they came to you in their distress. When you disciplined them, they could barely whisper a prayer. As a pregnant woman about to give birth writhes and cries out in her pain, so were we in your presence, Lord. We were with child, we writhed in labor, and we gave birth to wind. We have not brought salvation to the earth, and the people of the world have not come to life. But your dead will live, Lord. Their bodies will rise. Let those who dwell in the dust wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Go, my people, enter your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourself for a little while until his wrath has passed by. See, the Lord is coming out of his dwelling to punish the people of the earth for their sins. The earth will disclose the bloodshed on it. The earth will conceal its slain no longer. And now together, let's read Psalm chapter 24. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it upon the seas, established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? One who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to deceit, and has not sworn deceitfully. He will receive a blessing from the Lord, and the righteous from God. They say, this is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates, be lifted up, your ancient doors. And the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, and lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of armies. He is the King of glory. Now the second lesson in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. For we know that in our earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Since, in fact, after putting it on, we will not be found naked. For indeed, we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. But we are of good courage and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive compensation for his deeds done through the body in accordance with what he has done, whether good or bad. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson today is found in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven, and your reward is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stand if you can as we sing our pre-message hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow. Changes not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Provided.
Heavenly Father, as we come to this time that we gather around your word, I pray that you'll open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to receive all that you have for us today. For this I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. I want to share a couple of quick verses that kind of came to mind as I was listening to that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And it almost sets up even better where I wanted to be at today in what I want to share. And this comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'm just going to share a couple of what seem to be random verses, but they're not. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, it is certain we carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us there be content. And then jumping to verse 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold onto eternal life. Understanding what it means to be a part of the living body of Christ, which is the true definition of the church, is something that many people have a hard time wrapping their mind around. What does it really mean to be a Christian? Is it something we believe? It is something that we kind of do occasionally? Is it something that is in our culture? You know, my parents may have taken me to church, and if you were raised Presbyterian, Methodist, or Lutheran, you may have been baptized as a little infant. If you're a Baptist or in many other churches, when you became around 12 or 13 or 14, depending upon the time, the culture, and everything else, there was a lot of pressure. I had friends that I knew that would tell me stories when I first moved south. Remember, where I came from, we didn't have a whole lot of Baptists. There weren't that many of them. So I was not familiar. But I can remember many of them telling me the stories like, yeah, when I got to be around 13 and 14, I never heard the end of it. When are you going to go down there and shake that preacher's hand? When are you going to get baptized? When are you going to do that, son? And many of those people, sadly, they would tell and relate this little story. Yeah, finally I gave in, waited till some fall revival, sometime springtime, and then I, you know, got right with God, and then they arranged to get me baptized, and when they had everybody there, we did it. And funny, I hadn't been back to that church in years. I heard that more times than I care to discuss. I think of many of the people that I went to school with, a Christian school. Now, granted, we're talking, it was the Stone Ages and we went to school on a dinosaur, but still. How many of them are still in the faith? How many of them are still active? And I'm, there's not that many I've kept in contact with, but with the magic of today's technology, there are a number that I do. A few surprise me because they're the ones I least expected to see stay with the faith, and they're the ones that became missionaries and got really right with God. And others that went through the process, many of them, they talk about their vacations and they never go to church anymore. That's not a part of it. I look at those that I went to high school with. How many of my high school friends that were churchgoers, whether it be in the same church that I attended or the church that they attended faithfully every Sunday, I would say, out of all the close friends that I had in high school, and I'll call that number maybe 10 to 20, somewhere in there, people that I know, maybe one, possibly two, and that's it. The others have just simply vanished. They're no longer wanting to be a part. For them, it is what a term that I've used many times in preaching and in what I do on the radio. I call this cultural Christianity. It's part of our culture. We're a nation that, when you go back to its founding, part of why people came across the Atlantic Ocean to get here was because of religious persecution. that they were experiencing in their homelands. They couldn't practice their faith unless it was done a certain way, and if they didn't, they could be penalized, fined, imprisoned, martyred. I mean, it was pretty bad hundreds of years ago. And so many came to this nation seeking the ability to worship God freely in spirit and in truth. It's why it's enshrined within our Constitution in the First Amendment. The freedom of our faith is not guaranteed by government, it's guaranteed by God. Declaration of Independence talks about the inalienable rights, that they're not government given, they're already there. Government, if anything, has to maintain and uphold them and never restrict them. Not that anybody's paying attention to that globally anymore. They're not. The reason I wanted to kind of focus a little bit on this concept of All Saints Day, which comes up on November the 1st, and its tie into what is considered the Reformation period. Now, let me just quickly give the Reader's Digest version of the Reformation as fast as I can. In the time of people like Martin Luther, and Martin Luther's an interesting character. His family wanted him to be a lawyer, and he was well on his way to all the schooling that he would ever need to be a pretty prosperous man. And one day, and as the legend or story goes, Martin Luther was traveling, and he got caught in a horrific thunderstorm. And there was lightning striking all around and even hitting trees, and you could see the branches being blown off. And there he cried out, being raised as a Roman Catholic, which was what they had at the time in that part of what we now know as Deutschland or Germany. You know, Germany never even got that name until the 1800s. Prior to that, it was Prussia and a bunch of other regions. But he cried out and said, "Saint Catherine," he was used to praying to saints because of his background, "if you spare me from this and I don't die," because he was convinced he was going to die, "I'll become a monk." Well, Luther, thankfully, was faithful to his word. He survived. He says the storm ceased rather quickly, and I knew I'd made a promise before God, and I was more afraid of not keeping that promise than moving on and becoming a lawyer, so he did. And so he went through the process, became a monk. If I recall, Augustinian, if I'm not mistaken. And part of his job as a quiet monk, and Luther was not a quiet individual. We know that historically. They had him in a monastery where his job was to go through the Bible and copy it. Because, see, the printing press was not yet really on the scene developed to print Bibles. So Bibles were done by hand. And so Luther had mastered, of course, his native tongue, but he had also mastered the biblical languages of Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Very intelligent guy. And so he'd be reading these scriptures. Many of that, you know, we can just pick up a Bible. We can go to Walmart and buy a Bible. You can get a free one from many ministries if you don't have one. I've got several in my office if anybody ever needs one. And he started seeing things in the Bible that were contradicting what the established church of the day was preaching. And he started seeing some corruption and things that were not right. Just, as we'd say back in New York, not kosher. And he started to think, "God, what's going on here? Your word says this, but the church is saying this?" And then even worse, what really got under his skin one day was a guy by the name of John Tetzel. He was kind of like the used car salesman of the day. And he was working for the Vatican, and his job was to raise money to build the Basilica of St. Peter. And what he was doing, he was selling indulgences. See, the church at that time, the Roman church, had taught that when you die, you end up in purgatory. And there, you know, it can be a terrible experience or a bad experience, but never a great experience. And it may last centuries or millennia. We don't know. But the church could give you a dispensation to get out of, you know, like a get out of jail free card. And so Tetzel's running around the Prussian countryside saying, you know, if you put money into this, I can get you an indulgence to shorten your loved one's time in purgatory. The more you spend, the less time they'll be there. What a deal. Gee, poor grandpa. He wasn't really that great of a guy. And I mean, we can shorten his time and get him onto heaven. And so Luther finally had enough. And so he started writing down from, based on scripture, what he saw as teaching errors of the church of the day. The church in that day used to chain Bibles to the pulpit. It was illegal for you to own one, to possess one, to even touch one, unless you were among the clergy. Forbidden. The church would decide what you needed to know. You didn't need to have this book. You wouldn't understand it if you had one. It's kind of the thinking. Or so they proclaimed. And so Luther made a case of what was wrong with the church. He wasn't alone, though very famous for what he did. And what he did on what we now know, we call it Halloween. It was known as All Hallowed Evening, the day before All Saints Day, November 1st. Everybody went to church on November the 1st, early in the morning. Everything stopped for that day. And so that night, All Hallowed Evening, he had written out the 95 major issues where the church and the Bible were in disagreement, called the 95 Theses. And the church door at Wittenberg was pretty much the public billboard. Everybody went there to catch the news. That's where you put your notices of everything important. Whether the church had a notice, the government had a notice, whatever the notice was, everybody looked at the door at Wittenberg. So what did he do? He posted them and nailed them to the door at Wittenberg, the 95 Theses. And then, of course, that branded him as a heretic, an outlaw, and the rest is kind of history. I don't think he ever intended for a church to be named after him, and he might be disappointed with what a lot of the churches that are bearing his name. But be that as it may, he started something. Others had tried before. Others had tried to translate the Bible into their vernacular language. Many did. Tyndall, he burned at the stake for doing it, and others. All over Europe and even into England, there were many that wanted to reform the church, even among the clergy of the Catholic Church in England at the time. And this became fortuitous when King Henry had a little issue wanting to get an annulment for a marriage, and the Pope said no. And so he allowed the bishops that were already wanting to reform the church to do their thing and break away. It wasn't King Henry's church, but the bishops of the day took advantage of the political situation to finally say, by the way, there's evidence that the church in England has been around since the first century. Legend says, actually pretty substantiated. Remember Joseph of Arimathea, the one that gave Jesus his tomb? He's considered to be one of the first missionaries that traveled with the Roman boats into what we now know as England in the first century. The evidence is there that Christianity has been there since literally before AD 70, when many were going across the globe. And so they felt when Rome declared supremacy many years later, they were not thrilled about that idea. So there had always been an angst. So they used the politics, and that's where that church started off. The Presbyterians came out of that. The Methodists came out of that. And so you look at all what came out of that Reformation period. Now, what's all that have to do with the saints today? Living the life of the church is not a guarantee of happy days and happy times. It's not a guarantee that you'll always have great health, great wealth, great everything, the nicest looking kids. You know, there was the, what was that radio program years ago that came from Lake Wobegon? I'm trying to remember what it was. Prairie Home Companion. We're all, and as you talk about this community, where all the children are good looking, all are above average, all just, you know, it doesn't, there's no guarantee in the faith that we're going to be, you know, Lake Wobegon, that we're going to have just perfect lives. We face the same challenges as any other human being on the face of the earth, and actually it can be worse for us, because you have sometimes when you are in Satan's playground and you're proclaiming the gospel, Satan fights back, and he fights dirty. Job learned that in the Old Testament. When God's hand of protection was taken away for a brief period of time because of the challenge, your servant Job doesn't really like you, and he would vanish in a moment. But Job held faithful. When you look at this area in what I mentioned from Timothy, and think of all the other things that Jesus talks about, the world, you know, the Sermon of the Mount, you know, the Beatitudes and everything, these tell us a lot, but they also, Jesus reminds you, you will be persecuted, you will be hated, you will lose, you may lose everything, including your life, for my name's sake. He didn't withhold that information. Many Christians today just choose not to believe it or accept it. Well, we're in the United States now. We have freedom of religion, and we don't have any persecution. Oh, we do, and it's growing in the background, under the, it's bubbling under the surface. And we have an anemic church. Like I say, when I think of all those that went to the same Christian school that I did, how many of them have walked away from the faith? Willingly. They had better things to do. I know in my own life I've had periods of time where I was so determined to get my career going, you'd do anything, and that's that was me in my early 30s for a while. I was less and less involved in my church, and then one day I had this reckoning. God got a hold of me and made it clear, what is the most important thing? Your career? Your career could vanish tomorrow. Your company could go bankrupt, which, by the way, later on it did. Not that I left by that time. All that you're building for, you're sowing into the things of the earth. You're sowing into dead soil. You're going to get a dead harvest. What are you sowing up for the kingdom? We're not promised a rose garden. We're not promised happiness. We're not promised all the great things, but we are promised that he will be with us and endure with us all that the world throws at us. My middle name is Stephen, spelled like the saint from the Bible, S-T-E-P-H-E-N. Stephen. And he was what's called the first martyr. St. Paul held the cloaks of those that were stoning him to death when he was still known as Saul. And Stephen, in that pit, as the rocks are being thrown, he's crying out, not for pity, not for help, but he's seeing the vision glorious and going, Lord, I'm ready. This is wonderful. He's seeing what God has in store. All throughout the New Testament apostles, they didn't live to be retirement age. They all died for the faith, sometimes brutally. Christians taken to the Colosseum in Rome just to be killed by wild beasts and animals. Nero despised Christians so much that what he would do is he would take Christians and tie them up on a cross, cover them with pitch, and set them on fire to light his barbecue dinners, you know, his outdoor parties, burning the bodies of Christians. Being a Christian back in the first century, second, and even into the third, was not a healthy thing to do. We are blessed, and I think we take for granted all that God has given us, that how many of us are being taken by soldiers to be burned for at a barbecue to light the evening for fun and festivity? Many have been called to do that. Final thought. I've known a few people and I've had the pleasure of meeting. And I have met people like Corrie Ten Boom, you know, when she came to Toccoa Falls years ago. And I've met, even in more modern days, where missionaries have been killed for the faith in South America by Alca Indians. And I met the widow of one such missionary who never doubted and became even more resolute in her faith, in spite of losing her husband and friends who had gone in to minister to these people and instead were slaughtered. The church in Korea, North Korea, is still thriving. The church in China is still thriving, even though it's forbidden. They really have to stand up for their faith and take a gamble, but how many of us do? We don't. The saints before us are an example. I'll leave it at that. In the early church, final thought, many people would say, God, why have I not yet been martyred for the faith? Am I not worthy enough? They would pray, Lord, all my friends have been killed. They've been stabbed. They've been taken in. They've been crucified upside down, whatever the case may be. But why are they leaving me alone? Am I not worthy of your kingdom? No, maybe it's because you have something to do yet for the kingdom. Maybe it's time to focus on what God has for you. To live the life of being a saint is to accept what God has for us without argument and realize He knows better than we, and all we need to do is trust on Him. He's faithful to carry us through. Nothing is given to you that you can't endure, that God won't get you through. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've been in your word. And in a few moments, we will come to your table and we will commune and we will be with all the saints, past, present, and even yet to come, as you can transcend time and space. And Lord, it's hard to understand, but as you gave that gift to your disciples, and the disciples gives it to the church. Lord, meet our needs in this congregation. May the word that leaves this building today go out and reach and touch and not return void. For this I ask in Jesus' name. And all the congregation said, Amen and Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, faithful God, we commend ourselves, our bodies and souls, and all things into your keeping. Deliver us into your righteousness from all that the world would harm us in body and assault of the soul. Lord, in your mercy. Gentle Lord, visit the homes of your people that they may be in places where faith is nurtured and where we learn to live in our new lives, in holiness and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Blessed are you, O God, and blessed are the persecuted who suffer for your sake, and whose witness calls to all faithfulness. Bring peace to the nations. Make our leaders wise, just, and honorable, and deliver us from terror, violence, and oppression. Heavenly Father, comfort us by your abiding presence and satisfy all who call on you in need in our congregation, both here and online. May your healing and your peace be to those suffering in body, mind, and spirit this day. Grant them patience in the midst of suffering, and according to your will, release them from their afflictions. O Lord, be with your church and all our members who belong to you by baptism and faith. And the bidding of the Lamb, our shepherd, give us ears to hear your word and in faith to receive you in this gift of communion. Heavenly Father, grant that we may be brought to everlasting life with the faithful who have gone before us, who now rest from their labors. And Father Almighty, we give thanks to you that you have washed us in the blood of the Lamb and written our names in the Lamb's book of life. Though we are unworthy of your saving grace, we pray you to hear us in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom and with whom through all honor and glory is yours, Heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Lord, merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who sincerely repent and with true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we prepare to come to this table, I implore you to lift up your hearts unto the Lord and to give thanks to the Lord our God, because it is right to give our thanks and praise. Therefore, we praise you, O Lord, joining with our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever proclaim the glory of your name. For in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Now, as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has taught us, let us pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Come to the table of the Lord. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto you.
The Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto you.
And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross.
So we share.
So we share. Bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ, torn for you.
Table of the King. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given us bread from heaven to nourish our faith, increase our hope, and strengthen our love. Teach us, we pray, to hunger for Him who is the true and living bread, and enable us to live by every word that proceeds from your mouth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn. Passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always, now and forever. Amen. Depart in peace. Serve the Lord with gladness.
You've been listening to the worship service from Trinity Chapel in Seven Mile Ford, Virginia. Trinity Chapel is a small, traditional, and biblically based congregation in the southwest corner of Virginia. The church pastor is the Reverend Bob Bierman, also host of Truth to Ponder, heard on this station. We want to thank you for being a part of our worship service today. To learn more about the church, its mission, and its vision, visit the website TrinityChapelVirginia.com. That is TrinityChapelVirginia.com. And we invite you to join us next week at the same time for another service from Trinity Chapel.